Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to the final episode of our Anime Boston 2019 interview specials. This is a big one. Rock icon Miyavi, one of Japan's most influential musicians, as well as the star of such films as Bleach and Unbroken. Honestly, there's no intro that I can come up with that will do Miyavi justice, especially after the iconic Samuel L. Jackson recorded one for his recent Worlds Collide record. For this interview, B3 was joined by Anime Herald, Anime News Network, The Geekly Grind, and WEBN.TV. So, let's head into a samurai session in this Anime Boston 2019 interview special with the one, the only, Miyavi.
Record, who would you most like to collaborate with?
They have to be alive, yeah.
They don't have to be. They could be anyone. Yeah,
I wanted to collaborate with Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really, really admire and respect in his stance and his creation and his, you know, the performance on stage. And he's really, really talented. And then, yeah, I wanted to do something with him. But even now, Lady Gaga, Madonna, you know, those, you know, great, great artists. I would love to in the future, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Your work as a global ambassador is commendable. Can you explain what led you down that path in life?
Commendable. I love the word. trying to be commendable, as commendable as possible. Yeah, I became an ambassador of UNHCR in 2017, and then I just got back from Kenya. I've got tons of vaccine shots, you know, the yellow fever, malaria, polio. I got even sick, you know, when I got shot before the trip. But that was a, you know, meaningful experience and a trip to see the children there, and then there's so many talented youth, you know, people. And the situation hasn't not been any better, but what I saw in the camp, in especially on this trip in Kakuma area, is the northern part of Kenya, was really, really impressive to me, because they are trying to kind of bring people together in the refugees and hostel communities. So that, you know, always there's a gap between refugee and a hostel community, how much refugees can take. But in that particular area, thanks to the local government and then of course the national government, they're kind of trying to bring the benefit for the hostel community so that they can kind of unite together. So, and then as a musician, I had no idea what's going on in those refugee camps or the refugee crisis. But when I first went to the refugee camps in Lebanon and I played the guitar, the kids went crazy. You know, they were like, "Wow!" You know, the energy from the kids was really, really big. Once I started playing the guitar, and I thought, "Oh, there's something that I can do with music." And then I believe that's the role the music can do, even for those global issue. So, you know, I just play the guitar and rock every night, but every time when I go there, I try to dedicate myself and then just try to spend a great time with people. And so, and then I spread the message and what's going on in those areas to the whole world with my creation. So, and then that's my life work, you know. It takes time, and sometimes I feel frustrated, you know, by the situation, which is not, you know, not any better. But yeah, that's my, you know, one of the biggest roles in my life, and the biggest missions in my life as well.
You seem to flow effortlessly from the rock stage to the catwalk. Do you find there are similarities between the two?
You mean the music and fashion?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about, you know, different tempo. You know, I do acting in movie as well, so they are all having different tempos. Like, I'm used to, you know, prepare and focus on my show as a musician. So all the preparation, when I eat, you know, how long we need for rehearsal. So it's, you know, that's kind of explosion on stage to put everything when I hit the stage. So I prepare and I dedicate myself to that moment I hit the stage. And then until I finish playing the guitar on stage, it's like a one spark, you know, just a, you know, it's like a blink, you know. But fashion, it's a bit faster, you know. You do kind of catwalk two or three times for one show, and then preparation is way much less for us because it's for creation. So it's really interesting to be there for, you know, something that you don't create. You're part of it. So a movie is also like that, you know. As long as I'm not a director or producer, as an actor, it's a part of the big creation. So, and it's fun, you know. And then when I compose music for, you know, game or movie or anime or TV, I feel the similar way, because, you know, we create something for the other creation, and then to be part of it, it's really, really, it's great. Yeah, it's really fun. And I'm always enjoying it to get the inspiration from other, you know, for creations. So, yeah.
Yeah. Since we're at an anime convention, I have to ask, what was it like working on Bleach and officially stepping foot into the anime industry?
It was really, really interesting, and then it was amazing experience for me, you know, to study sword. I never used sword in my life, you know, only guitar I was slapping. So yeah, I studied, I practiced a lot, and then we had you know, lots of discussion with the director, Mr. Sato, because, you know, the character I played, Byakuya, you know, he doesn't show his emotion, but to, you know, as a live action, and then also to make the flow, you know, there was a couple options, you know, to how to portray the character. So that was a, you know, also a big challenge to me to play that role, especially the relationship he has with his young sister Rukia is really something that I also have my young sister, so I understand how he feels toward his sister. So that was a interesting experience to me too.
First question I'd like to ask is, what makes an entertaining live show, and how do you make your shows entertaining?
So to me, as a musician, as a guitarist, my responsibility is create something no one has seen or heard before. So as a new experience, and then also the show is energy exchange. So like having sex, you can't be satisfied by yourself, So if I kind of, satisfied by myself, just playing the guitar, it's not fun to watch. So it's really, really important to have the communication with the audience beyond the language. So especially I'm the guitarist, so I always try to sing with the guitar, and then I play the guitar, but I'm not doing any technical thing. I'm doing a little, using some technique, but it's not actually important at all. It's all about the, communication, how I express my feeling, and then how I deliver to the audience. So even if I cannot play well, it doesn't matter, as long as the audience is having fun. So sometimes I make a mistake, or I do lots of ad-lib. That's really, really important to my show, because that makes that moment with my audience special. So and then I believe that's, my role in my life, to communicate and then to rock people, entertain people with the guitar. So I used to love watching performance of Buddy Guy or B.B. King or Stevie Ray Vaughan, those great guitarists who just have fun on stage and who always try to share the, great time with the audience. So to me, facial expression or even costume or lighting or the show floor is really, really important, because that's also show floor is really, really important, the track order, because that's like, how to say, the movie or even the course, when you go to the restaurant, you order some course menu, so it's something like that, an appetizer, and then until you get dessert, it's really, really important to have that good flow. So and then I get energy from the audience as well. So if I don't get the big energy from the audience, I don't get go crazy as well. It's really, really human. It's not that it might not be professional, but I think it's that's the entertainment or even the show should be. And then even last night at the show, I've got the great energy from the audience, so I was able to give back to the audience, and that's kind of mutual kind of energy exchange. So, yeah.
And that actually leads into my second question, which is performing here in the States any different than it is in Japan?
Different, yeah. Different. Because I always get nervous when I speak English. And then, the groove is different. Yeah. But, how much people love music is the same. It's not different at all. But the way the audience receive and appreciate music is a bit different, So Japanese, Asian countries are way more quiet while we're playing. And then they kind of listen to, the lyrics, and they, sing along with us. But here, the bigger and then even wilder, the crazier, energy from the audience. And they, just more like a party here. They drink, So, and it's really interesting to see the difference between the different cities, even in the States. L.A., New York, those cities are different from the, cities in like, even Boston or Texas or Chicago. It's, different colors, and then the way people appreciate and enjoy the show. So, it's different. And in South America, it's completely different. They're like musicians and dancers. Like, they don't care if they know the music or not. They just want to start to dance. they don't care about us. They just, you know, just enjoy it themselves. I mean, that's really, really cool. That's what I did in Kenya as well. Even in refugee camps, people dance and sing, you know, even if in a hard situation, people appreciate music. And that's the, I think, most important thing that, you know, we can do as a musician, to share the great moment with music, even if it's hard times. Just, we kind of, you know, give the energy and the motivation toward the future. And then I want my audience to get out of the venue with kind of excitement toward the tomorrow, you know. I don't want them to be like, oh, I'm going back to the reality. You know, that's not my show. I want them to be excited to go back home and then go back to their, you know, school or, you know, the office, wherever, you know, they belong to. And then next time we see each other, we grow. That's, I strongly believe, you know, as a right way, you know, right shape of relationship between artist and audience. I think.
Great. You performed in Boston before, whether it was last night or other times in the past. Have you had any memorable experiences from those that are remarkable in any way?
To be honest, the last time, I think, you know, that was doing a tour. And then on the tour, I always focus on my condition, you know. So I was not able, I don't usually go out. But this time, I brought my family here. So I was able to take a walk with my family a bit. And then I really loved the kind of influence from European culture, kind of even the buildings, like two stories. I really, you know, since I grew up in Osaka and Tokyo, and now I'm based in LA, so LA, you know, people drive a lot. So I really like that. I really love the vibes and kind of city vibes. But in this city, it's not that, you know, crazy as New York or other Hong Kong or Tokyo. It's people really, really, you know, laid back, but, you know, it has city vibes and the food is great. You know, we've got the tons of clam chowder. That's great, you know. And then I really, really love the kind of space, you know, the vibes, the flow in this city. Yeah.
So to start with, you have been in bands, you've also been in supergroups, but you've been primarily solo since 2002. Mm-hmm. What are the differences for you between working solo versus in a band, and do you ever miss that kind of collaboration or prefer your own?
Yeah, freedom. Yeah, as a solo artist, you've got freedom. Mm. But in a band, you have chemistry. Mm. That's something that you can't expect. And that's a fun part. But sometimes it's a hard part, you know. Something you don't expect that happens. Mm. And then it's not, you know, as stable as being a solo artist. Mm. So, you know, I'm kind of not like a lone wolf kind of vibes, you know, but it's really important. It's the same as a corporation or even the class in a school. It's most important thing is to be on the same page, to share the goal and then the direction with other people. So, you know, in a band, it's really, really crucial to have a, you know, mutual perspective and motivation, yeah. If the temperature is different, it doesn't go well. Mm. But solo, it's more freedom. You know, you can go anywhere. Yeah. I mean, that's also a problem. You know, like you've seen that, you know, David Bowie or Beck, or those artists. That are, you know, even Prince. You know, he changed his name. You know, it happens. You know, so more flexible, more, you know, free, but. Yeah, it's fun, and I feel comfortable. But I miss being in a band, and I especially, you know, I like playing a guitar. Mm. I like singing with the guitar. So, you know, if there's a, you know, good vocalist that I can collaborate, or even I can make a band with, I would love to. Mm. I would love to, so that I can, you know, I don't have to be worried about the lyrics, or, you know, I'd have to have my iPad on stage to, you know, but yeah.
on that, your style is impossible to define because it keeps on changing and evolving and growing and new influences. So it's anything but predictable. How do you go about exploring these diverse musical expressions when you're sitting down to write a song or album?
I mean, I always just follow my instinctive feeling, and then that's not actually, you know, what I plan. You know, I really want to keep doing the same stuff, and it's easy for marketing, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to go to a restaurant, you know, which don't have a menu, or you have no idea what's going to come up. Mm. I think my music is like that, you know. People don't know what kind of stuff Miyabi plays. But I think one thing is, they know that they're going to have a good time, and they're going to, I promise that we're going to share the explosion, and it's a great time, and then that energy. So you got to trust the chef, you know, the restaurant you go to. So, but it's hard, you know. I believe, you know, I don't want to go to the restaurant, you know, which doesn't have a menu, and then, you know, when I want to eat fish, you know, just curry or noodle or something, you know, comes up. But the chef, you know, promises that anything he creates is good, and then he kind of puts everything toward that creation. That's what I do. And then again, I don't want to keep changing, but I don't know, I just, as I said earlier, that's also my responsibility to make something new, you know. That's the kind of the human heritage or human, you know, the part of the history of music. We need to keep evolving for the next generation. If we keep doing the same stuff, it's not fun, and then, you know, we are all bridge to the next generation. So as a guitarist, I don't play like Eric Clapton or B.B. King because it's done. Already, they already made it, and I really respect, but that's not what I do. Even if what I'm doing is totally different, and then people don't understand, but I believe that's my role. So that's why my guitar, you know, I used to play Taylor T5, but I switched to Telecaster Fender. But now, my Telecaster is not Telecaster anymore, it's like a Cyborg. It has like a Stratocaster, kind of three pickups, and then a tremolo bar, and also sustainer, and then a humbucker. So it's not Tele anymore, but it's perfect to me. You know, I really need that guitar for my creation. And I believe that's the new way, and then that's the way to create something new. So it's risky, actually. And sometimes people don't get it, but I believe that's my mission as a guitarist and creator.
And so going a little back to your past then, who were some of your influences growing up that when you first picked up that guitar and had to play?
So when I had the guitar, there was no influence at all. Because I just wanted to have something kind of I was able to get into. So because I was in a youth team of a professional soccer team in Japan. And I wanted to be a professional soccer player, but I got injured. And I was not able to keep up with the team, and then I just dropped out. So, and then after that, I started hanging out with my friends, just around 14 years old. You know, you start kind of learning many things, you know, good and bad. And then, but I was not kind of satisfied at all, you know, even with, you know, dating with my girlfriend or just hanging on the streets and having, you know, just doing a lot of stuff, but I was not happy at all. I mean, I was happy, but I was not satisfied, you know. I just wanted to kind of live to the fullest every day. And then while I was in the team, I was just chasing the soccer ball, but I was fulfilled. I was missing that feeling. And then once the moment I got the guitar, I felt the same way. I felt the freedom that I was feeling while I was playing soccer. I was like, oh, I can create something with this. And then this thing might take me somewhere. You know, I was in the small city in Hyogo.
Hyogo.
Yeah, prefecture. Yeah, yeah. There's a prefecture right next to Osaka. And then I was sure, 100% sure that I was, I didn't belong to that area, to the city. I like the city and the vibes and friends, but I you know, I didn't think that I belong to that city. So, yeah, just I was able to feel that the guitar was gonna take me somewhere, and now I'm here in Boston. I'm talking to you in English. So, yeah, there's no big influence when I picked up the guitar, but I was able to picture myself playing, you know, the guitar in front of the crowd. And then after that, I started learning, you know, music. Like I started listening to, carefully listening to, and I was listening to music before I started playing the guitar, like a American kind of rock band, like, you know, Motley Crue or even Jeff Beck or Metallica, those things. But after I played the guitar, I started listening to the music carefully, and then you know, Ray Charles, kind of Motown stuff, and then the blues guitars, like, you know, yeah, Buddy Guy, Stevie Ray Vaughan, yeah. So, and David Bowie.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then, yeah, I wanted something different and distinct from other artists as a Japanese. The more I go abroad, you know, outside of Japan, I wanted to, the more I started feeling that I need to be different. Yeah, so, that's the path.
I saw you perform at Tokyo X Brooklyn.
Where?
Tokyo X Brooklyn in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, the joke in Spinal Tap was that the amps, their amps went up to 11. In Brooklyn, your amps went up to 12. Why do you rock so hard?
The thing is, I didn't know that rule. So that was a problem, but yeah. That event was pretty interesting because, yeah, unfortunately the weather was horrible, and then, but I don't know, once I go outside of Japan, I feel like I represent, you know, my country, because people introduce me as a Japanese guitarist, Japanese, even if I do, you know, the shows outside of Japan, more than the shows in Japan, it doesn't matter, and I represent my country, and I feel responsible. You know, now I'm here as a Japanese, I'm really happy to see that people are, you know, embracing and then enjoying the culture in manga, anime, you know, the part of the Japanese cultures. But now, you know, the American people, the people all over the world are growing that culture altogether. The people here, you know, anime, manga, way more than me. You know? I always feel that I need to study more. So, but again, you know, as a Japanese, I feel responsible. And that's why, even last night, the audience gave me great energy. But to be honest, in the end of the show, I was really tired, you know, really tired. And before I came back to the stage for encore. But it can't stop, you know. I can't stop. Of course, you know, as a professional, I don't stop. But at the same time, you know, I represent my country. And then, you know, I'm here to have a great, you know, to give the audience a great time. And that's, you know, that's the reason why we're here. So that's why we do everything we can do for the preparation. You know, even a stretch or a meal, you know, the rehearsal, sound, everything I can do. I don't do something like, you know, hey, this is it, it's cool, right? Done. Yeah, I don't do that. Even if it's just a small club with 50 people or 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000, what I do is the same. I just put everything. So I get tired. I'm tired. But that's my life. And then, yeah, I think that's a, you know, responsibility as a rock star.
So that actually leads into my next question. How do you stay so disciplined to get up at 4 at 5 a.m. every morning, have the smoothies, eat healthy? What drives you to stay so focused?
Because, you know, the kids need to wake up at 6 a.m. That's why I need to wake up earlier than them. So, but that's really crucial. That's crucial. But sometimes recently, especially the, you know, the time difference, you know, from Kenya and everything, sometimes it's hard, but But because I know that that's really crucial to be able to do your best, you know. Because I've already experienced that I was not able to do my best without doing that kind of, you know, my routine. It's really crucial. And then it's really interesting that, you know, no matter where you are, the sun comes up. You know, sometimes you have a cloudy day, but the, how do I say? But time is, you know, now the Boston, it's, what time is it? 6:30. So, 3 p.m. in LA. But, you know, what time is in Tokyo?
7:30 a.m.
Yeah. So, well, they're, you know, waking up now, and we can talk, but the different kind of rhythm, even at the same time. So we are all affected by the, how to say, the sun, you know. You know what I mean? Even at the same time, it's different. Which means the sun is affecting us a lot. You know, with the temperature and then the our kind of cycle. So, especially when I travel a lot, it's really important to feel and then to live with, how to say, the sun. You know, how the sun comes up and goes down. So yeah, that's why I started kind of doing it. And especially in LA, you know, you feel the sun a lot. Sometimes too much. But that's I think the benefit, you know, to live in LA, because you know I feel way more the sun compared to when I used to live in Tokyo. There are less buildings, the bigger sky. I think the sunlight in LA is pretty special. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we hate it, you know, too hot, too dry, but yeah, I love to kind of feel the sun, so.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie picked you for a tough role in Unbroken, and then since then you've had roles in Bleach, Kong Skull Island, and the upcoming Maleficent Mistress of Evil. Is this going to be a larger part of your life now, acting?
I think so. But the thing is, you know, the schedule is, you know, always kind of having a tour, making an album, and then the commitment is the way you commit to the project is a bit different, you know. Doing that kind of self-tape thing or just memorize all the dialogue, especially in English, or even in Japanese. But I've been learning a lot from the experience as an actor. And then it affects a lot to my music, you know, because I've never, ever tried to be somebody else. Because a musician is like just having one role in your life. You know, for example, just I'm a Miyabi the whole life, you know. At home, I'm a dad, and on stage, I'm a rock star, but I'm always Miyabi. It's one character. It's really easy to kind of, you know, go back and forth. But in a screen, in a for a movie, it's more like, you know, you need to study somebody else's life, you know, the path he or she went through. And especially playing villain is totally kind of different experience, you know. Way more humanity and way more complicated. And it's really responsible to show the way, you know, that person become like that. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting. And then again, to be a part of creation is, I like kind of, you know, being a part of creation so that I can dedicate, you know, myself and what I have toward the creation. So I play at the fashion show or just walking on runway as a fashion model or making music for a movie or just being a part of the movie as an actor. It's really fun, yeah. So that's why I think I keep doing that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. So 2019 marks the 20th anniversary of you in the music scene, if we count your time with Dewey Le Quartz in the beginning. Looking back, how have you felt you've evolved both as a musician and a person during these last two decades?
Well, you know about my career more than me. So, yeah, I feel, you know, I've been growing up with my audience, and then, yeah, I feel like a different person compared to even 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But I think it's every time I step forward, I feel responsible, because that's the kind of, how to say, the kind of conflict I think I believe in every artist has, because what you want to create and then what you think that people want to hear from you. So it's always, you know, the battle in me. But I really think that's, you know, my responsibility to take a step forward and then, you know, to show my audience a new world, even if they don't like it. But I feel that's our responsibility. You know, that's the kind of same as raising a kid. You know, children, they love sweet stuff. They love chocolate, but we can't give them chocolate every day. You know, we need to think how to give them spinach. You know, how to make it taste good, and how to sneak into hamburger or curry. You know, that's really, really important. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. And then I'm not, and I don't want to be preachy as well. It's really crucial to do that kind of thing in a natural way, and then organic way. You know, so that's why I'm doing the supporting UNHCR as an ambassador is also part of it. You know. So that, especially in Japan, it's really hard to get information from outside of Japan because of the language barrier, and also it's far away, you know. So the refugee crisis is really far. So the Japanese government is, you know, donating much money, but we're not accepting so many refugees into Japan because of that kind of. How to say, it's really hard to explain, but in Japan, the language and also the personality, so the less competition. So the government's responsibility is to protect their citizens as well. So once, you know, people from outside come in, and they, if they take a job from the citizen, it's the government's, you know, responsibility to protect. So anyway, so as an ambassador, it's also important to kind of show them, you know, what's happening, you know, what's this world is facing, you know, global warming and the refugee crisis, and then, you know, those gender equality, you know, the issue. So, I feel, totally different, but, you know, thanks to the people I've been collaborating or working with, I feel a bit matured, and then now I feel responsible to pass that to the next generation. I love teaching, so, you know, when I go to refugee camps, I teach the kids, you know, and then maybe in the future, I want to kind of get involved with the education kind of thing. I don't know how, you know. But, politics as well, you know. Because as an ambassador, I have communication with politicians in Japan, or even the countries I visit as an ambassador. So I just wanna, you know, it makes me want to make something like a music. It's at least positive or give something, you know, beneficial to the people who listen to my creation. So, but sometimes I wanna make a, you know, party song as well. So it's really important to have a good balance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it the right answer?
A terrific answer. So, speaking of collaborations, your latest album that just came out, World to Collide, the third continuation in your Samurai Sessions series, out of all the collaborations that you did on this particular record, which managed to pull something out of your performance that took you by surprise the most?
From the tracks? Yes. The album? No, of course, you know, we've got Samuel Jackson on the track.
Yes.
It's it's a shocking experience to us. And then, you know, this is a great, great actor who has a long career and that we all respect. But, like, when I texted him, he was like, I was like, hey, would you want to join us, you know, on this upcoming album? He was like, hell yeah. I thought, wow, yeah. So that's great collaboration, crossover, music and acting. It was more like, you know, dialogue kind of stuff. But with great excitement. You know, just our role is to give the audience wow, that moment of wow. That's the, you know, that's it. You know, that excitement, and then you know, great Japanese singers, rappers, and then American artists as well. So at the show in LA at the LA Theater this year, we've had the Mickey Echo, Duckworth, Yuna, you know, Dale, really good, yeah, Chanel, you know, it's great artists, and I get inspired by them every time I perform, so, and then which I want to keep doing, you know, and then as a guitarist, I was really, really happy to be able to perform the guitar with them, you know, it's a great guitarist, and then always chemistry, I learn a lot, so I think we keep doing that, you know, mm-hmm. in the future. But now we kind of, we just made an announcement of a new album, No Sleep Till Tokyo, which is coming out on July 24th in Japan, so maybe 23rd in America, you know, which is 100%, 120% Miyavi. Because, you know, I struggle to sing in English because of the pronunciation, because even if we got the good performance, if the pronunciation doesn't work, you gotta redo it, you know. It's a torture to me. It's like, we've got it, but... So, yeah, that's actually, you know, one of the reasons why I started kind of wanting to sing with the guitar, you know, without just singing. But this time, I just wanted to deliver the message to the audience directly with my voice, because, you know, my fans support me as an artist, not only the guitarist, you know, including my voice as well. So I tried. And then, you know, so I wrote the lyrics in Japanese a lot this time. So maybe it's a good learning process to my fans to learn more Japanese. And I believe, you know, my kids sing along. They always sing along. That's a good Japanese lesson to them as well.
Mm. Well, you know, that does lead me to my next question, because there has been this rise of popularity for Japanese music here in America, especially with successful tours from like yourself, bands like Perfume, Baby Metal, and One OK Rock. How do you feel your contributions, rather your country's contributions, mesh into the Western music world?
I think, you know, one of the artists who, you know, started, you know, playing outside of Japan, I think I've been showing the good and bad examples to Japanese artists, you know. So the important thing is, you know, to be able to, you need to know, you need to be able to communicate, not only language, kind of culture-wise, you know, you need to be ready to accept the difference. Because, you know, having a tour in the States is completely different from a tour in Asia or even Europe. It's different. Mm. The we play, you know, we hit the stage around 9 or 10, it's too late. When you're done with the show at midnight, the food we can get is only pizza. It's crazy. But the thing is, you know, that's the culture. You know, more like people come to the club and they just drink and have fun, you know. It's different, you know. We play at 5 or 6 p.m. in Japan. You know, it's not only, you know, the time we hit the stage, but also the way people appreciate music, I mean, culture, is different. So it's really, really important to kind of, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm based in LA, so that I'm able to work with, you know, great producers and great musicians in this country. But at the same time, you can't forget your origin, your root. So as a Japanese, you know, I can't sing gospel or even blues, you know. I can sing like a blues-ish song, but that's not my root. So that's why I got inspired by shamisen, the traditional instrument. And then that's why I'm happy to be here, you know, those American people kind of appreciating the culture, different culture. But now just it's growing here as well. The same thing, the reason why I'm playing the guitar instead of shamisen. Because I was inspired by the guitarist. I mean, I just got inspiration by this instrument, not the shamisen. But I'm kind of mixing up with my original culture, which is shamisen or kabuki or even the anime. Or that's why I said, you know, even if that's not the right way to play the guitar, I don't care, because that's my way. The Japanese guy playing the guitar, which is Western instrument. So I think, you know, I've been showing that kind of, you know, the examples to exist in a different world and to survive in that world in your own way, not to just blend in. So I think that's a great thing, you know, to be able to accept other cultures. So Spanish or Chinese or Italian or Japanese. So now it's more global in music and movie industry as well. There are lots of Asian roles, and then, you know, African-American role, like a Black Panther, you know. So it's great to have a diversity, and then I'm really happy to be able to be part of the culture, the diversity.
How have you seen the rock and pop fandoms over the world evolve over your years of activity in the music industry?
I don't know, just, you know, the way the people consume music has been, you know, changing a lot, you know, because of the internet, you know. So the thing is, basically, people don't pay money for music. Even I don't even have the CD player. It's all downloading. So, which is the kind of reality we're facing. And it's changing our, you know, the style or way to compose music as well, because, you know, if we don't have a budget, we can't book the studio. So, you know, it's affecting a lot. But that's a reality. So, but the thing is, the power of music or culture has not changed at all, because people still need it. But the way we appreciate music is different. Now we don't kind of, you know, wait for the time you arrive, you know, you go back home and then put the even vinyl or the CD into your CD player and listen to it. No, now as you download it and you listen to it while you're driving back home, and then it's more digital, and then it's more invisible, and then sometimes kind of less appreciation. But that's why we are kind of finding new way to kind of appreciate music, you know, YouTube or those social media as well. So our responsibility is, I think, to show that, you know, that new experience, you know, the way we can kind of explore. So I'm really, really positive that, you know, how the music industry has been, you know, even after the internet became so big and massive, and then the enormous influence to the music business, are really, really positive. And am I on the right path?
Yeah.
Answering?
Yeah,
again, the music is music. You know, people want to sing, people want to dance. That's the thing, you know, people want to eat. So the only moment that how do you say, just fundamental system or format could be changed is when we become digital. So now we still listen to music by our ears. We taste food by our mouth and tongue. That's why even if it's all digital, we digitally order or digitally download, but input is analog. So it's all about how you create. So when you create even a food or even music, you put your emotion into it. So that process is still analog. And then I believe it's better than making something digitally still. But once we become digital, which means, you know, AI, that kind of technology comes up, and then that's the moment those AI could make music or even food better than us. But until that moment, I think we keep doing what we do, and then like the show, you know, even if people download music, we, you know, simply have a good time. That's something that you cannot download. That's why people come to the show. So, yeah, you know, it sounds really analog, but I think that's a fun part as a human being. Was the right answer? Is that, is that okay? Sometimes I go too far. The future is here now. The future is here.